You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM on the dial www.ckut.ca on the internet. In the studio with us, we have activist Haroun Bouazi. Haroun, welcome to our program and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
The last time we met, the Tunisian Revolution was just at its beginning and we didn't know where the Egyptian Revolution was going. Today, how would you evaluate the situation in Tunis?
So the situation is mainly evolving positively. We are right now actually starting the subscription of list for the next elections that will be on the 23rd of October. You know, we're learning democracy right now, so there is here and there some things that we can for sure make a lot better and maybe will be better for next elections. But so far, the overwhelming thing that we can see is that it's going positively for next elections.
When we say going positively, one of the demands of the revolution was a shab, you read, isqat al-nizam, which means changing of the regime. Now, after Ben Ali left, there were still some icons of the old regime. Now, do you think that really the regime has changed, the structure, those controlling the country, not only the head, but at a lower level?
So, you know, first we have the party of Ben Ali, that was the party of Bourguiba before, that actually built the Tunisian government and state as we know it. And that won't disappear, and I have to say, thank God, won't disappear, because if we see Libya, where Gaddafi didn't construct this government and this country the same way it has been done in Tunisia, we're not sure that the state will survive as easily that happened in Tunisia. You know, after the 14th of January, the electricity wasn't cut, the water wasn't cut. I mean, even administrations were working the week after. After, you know, we know Ben Ali left. So somehow, when we say Esqat Nizam, doesn't mean that we have to start from scratch. Now, there is some positive thing that happened. For example, we know that a lot of people got arrested. Some icons got arrested. Some people from the families of Ben Ali got arrested. And we know that a lot of others are still waiting. And the justice that is not working as fast as people would like to. Just to finish, for next election, we didn't let anyone that was that had any important role in the party of Ben Ali to present himself in next election, and that's more takes out from next election more than 30,000 Tunisian people.
Now, Haroun, if we contrast the situation with Egypt, we know that there are upcoming elections, but Egyptians are very reluctant to fix a date because they say that those in power are actually those affiliated with the old regime or the Muslim Brotherhoods who have been there for a long time, and those seem to be the two only organized parties. I guess you don't have this dilemma.
No, first in Egypt, I know the way that people are going to vote in next election is very different. We're going to have proportional election. That means that if Islamists is the strongest party with, let's say, 25%, and everyone else will have 5 or 10 or 15%, they will only have 25% of the new parliament. But in Egypt, it's different. If you are the first, even with 30%, you know, and if the opposition to the Islamists is not united, we know that they're going to have 100% of the parliament. So it's the already the way we're going to vote changes this and mitigates a lot the risk of having Islamists extremely powerful in a parliament. The second thing is pretty interesting is that, you know, Egypt, the power of Mubarak was a lot based on the military. He was part of them, and they just dropped a Mubarak at the end.
And yeah, this was actually my next question. It's how do you view the role of the military in Tunis as compared to Egypt, what happened in Egypt? Because now Egypt has a military government. It's headed by a general, whereas in Tunis you have a civil government.
Yes, so in Tunisia, we managed to stay more or less in legality. So we didn't stop working with the constitution, at least at first. We had the prime minister, the head of the parliament that became president, and then, you know, the prime minister changed. But mainly we stayed civil. The role of the military is very different because in Tunisia they're very weak. Ben Ali was very, and Bourguiba before, both were very scared of the military. So we're talking about just like 35,000 military at that time. Now we know there are a lot more. And it was a lot about the role of the police. The police and the Minister of Interior were the strong tool that the dictatorship used to keep people accept dictatorship. And the big difference that we can see between the Tunisian police and the Egyptian military is that the police themselves, they're not the rich people. They're not the corrupted people as per se. If we compare the huge amount of money the family of Ben Ali took from the Tunisian people, whereas in Egypt, the generals, they have a big part of the economy. So they have a lot to lose if they actually, we go to a democracy and people are judged for, you know, contracts that they had from the government that they shouldn't have had, etc. Whereas in Tunisia, the police don't have that much to use. You know, they're functionaries. They will be paid by a democracy or by a dictatorship. They will still be paid and they not have as much to lose. Though, because we have a couple of hundred of people that died during the revolution, because people got tortured before, they're scared right now about going to jail for this kind of act. But we're not talking about, you know, big amount of money. And so the situation is very different. And I don't see the police playing a big role bringing back dictatorship in Tunisia.
Whereas if we compare this with Syria, we see that the army is siding with Assad. Now there are some defections, but actually he's using his army to repress the rebellion. So the situation changes from one country to the other. Now, about the fortune of Ben Ali, that's interesting. Is Tunisian going to recover part of it?
You know, if we see in the past for other countries, we understand that it's going to be pretty hard to recover that money. We see the example of Switzerland, for example, that froze the money extremely fast, and now it's reluctant to send it back to Tunisia. And, you know, we know as long as you keep money in your bank, you can actually fructify it, and you don't really want to, you know, send it back to the Tunisian people. We're still confident. The main goal is not the past. The main goal is the future. And we really want to succeed in building this new democratic state, the new just state of Tunisia. And we know that these people were actually, you know, they owned around 40% of the economy of Tunisia. And this for next year, years for the Tunisian economy is money that we won't lose. This is the important part of it. And then for the past, we're going to do our best, but the main thing is that we don't have the right to fail constructing our future.
I'm very optimistic about Tunisia, and I'm delighted to hear the very good news. We hope that this is going to propagate to the other Arab countries, especially those where protesters are being killed, like in Syria, in Yemen, Bahrain. Libya is not quite finished yet. And talking about Libya, we remember, of course, that today is the 1st of September, and it used to be the anniversary of Gaddafi's revolution when he came into power in 1969. So this is exactly to the day 42 years. But vive la révolution. Thank you very much, Haroun Bouazizi.
Thank you.